Well, I'll try to be brief this morning as we continue on in our story in the Gospel of Mark. The last time we were together, before Jonathan spoke last week, which he did an amazing job of, it was wonderful to have him here, we're going to continue on with the story of the man who had been possessed of many demons, and I want to just finish up the last part of that story. And we saw that this man was in a bad way. You remember how the conditions he was in? He was in the tombs. He was bound. He was cutting himself. He was miserable. He was possessed of many demons. This man was just a total human wreck. And in the mess that he was in, Jesus comes. Jesus comes for the one, and he comes for the broken ones. He comes for the ruined ones, and he crosses that lake, and he delivers him. He delivers him in such a beautiful and wonderful way that there's no question that he's completely changed. They find him clothed, seated in his right mind. And of course, the crowd that were there, they didn't like this because they lost their pigs in the process, because the demons went in the pigs, if you remember the story. I'm summarizing, okay? And in the middle of all of that, this man is redeemed. He's saved. He's changed. He's transformed. And he's so excited about it. And he's so excited that he wants to do something about it. And surely, if God touches your life, you get excited. You get excited because it's good news, because it's life transformed, because it causes something to happen in your heart and in your soul. And of course, it caused this man's life to be totally changed. And here's the truth of the matter. If you trust Christ as your Savior, your life will change. If it doesn't change, something hasn't happened. Now you might say, well, gee, I don't do drugs, don't drink, don't do all these bad things, so how could my life change? It will change. It will change your heart's desires. It will change your focus. It will change your direction of life. Everything will change if you trust Christ as your Savior. People think that, okay, here's the list of sins over here. Drinking, drug, blah, 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 you know, adultery. That's all the list of sins. Listen, the biggest sin is not trusting God. Did you know that? So, do we all fit in that category? Have we all done that? Yeah. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. That includes all of us. So, let's find ourselves in the same boat as the demon-possessed man in some respects, because we've all been influenced by the devil. We've all not trusted in the Lord. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all need a Savior, and we all need to be transformed. Every one of us. Every one of us. And so when this man, it says in Mark 5:18, when he got into the boat, that's when Jesus was leaving the shores because they didn't want him anymore. He said, get out of here. We don't want you here. You lost all our pigs. They didn't care about that man. They just cared about their pigs. You lost all our pigs. But when he got in the boat, he who had been demon-possessed, Mark 5:18, begged him that he might be with him. He begged him, please, I want to go with you. Can you understand why? Huh? I mean, look at the guy. He had nothing. He was ruined. He was done. He was cooked. He was gone. And yet, here, Jesus set him free. I only want to be with you, Jesus. Can I go with you? It doesn't say he just said, well, if you think about it, I'd kind of like to get in the boat with you. It says he begged him. He pleaded with him. It's what he wanted more than anything else in the world was to get in that boat and go and be with Jesus. Well, what would you think Jesus would say to that? You would think, oh, make room for that guy. The 13th disciple has just joined the crowd. But that's not what he said. What did he say to him? However, Jesus did not permit him. He said, no, you can't come with me. Shocking in a way. Really? But look what he says. But he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. So he had a plan. God always has a plan. Now get that in your head. God has a plan. That's okay, somebody found it. God has a plan. He's not without a plan for your life. For your life, in your life. He has a plan for every single one of you. You know, we live as if God is somewhere way up beyond there and he's not really interested and we just got to kind of make our own way and I don't know what to do next, but what will I do? I'll flip a dice. I'll go this way or will I go that way? What will I do? I don't know what to do, but I'll try my best and hopefully I'll get through on the other side of it all. In the meantime, I'm telling you, God has a plan for you, for every single one of you. He has a plan and it's a good plan. It's not a bad plan. He has a direction for you to take in your life. You're not left abandoned. You're not left alone. How often have you felt that and wondered, what am I going to do next? I don't know what to do in this situation. God has a plan. He always has a plan. Friends, that's good news. I find that incredibly comforting to know that. Because you never know what's coming down the pipe, do you? You never know what's going to be next in your life. What trial's going to come up or what circumstance in you're just trying to weigh out. I don't know what to do here. God has a plan. And I just want to encourage you to that. And he had a plan for this man. He had a definite plan for this man. And so he told him what his plan was for him. Now, we don't hear the guy saying, well, Jesus, I've decided I'm not going to do what you said. I'm getting in that boat and try and stop me. Is that what he said? No. What did he do? He departed. He followed God's plan. He followed God's plan for him. Listen, you can make your own plans, but there's somebody bigger than you that's in control. And this man obeyed God, and he went and he began to proclaim in Decapolis. Now, the name Decapolis means this, 10 cities. There were 10 cities over through Syria and through that area. So he went to 10 cities. And he declared all that Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Everyone was amazed. He had a plan. Now, why would Jesus not allow him to come into the boat? Any ideas? Why would he do it this way? He wanted him to spread the news. That's right. He wanted others to know. You see, Jesus was only sent to the lost children of the house of Israel. This guy was the exception. He crossed the lake for this one guy, just because he was over in Gentile country. Then Jesus goes back. Jesus wasn't going to go to preach in Rome. He wasn't going to go to all those Gentile countries. Gentiles meaning non-Jews, which means most of us here. He wasn't going to do that. He was going to preach the gospel in Israel, but he had a plan for the rest of the world. But he was going to use other people to do it. Other people, like this guy. So this guy goes out and starts sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to all these cities and in the surrounding area. God had a plan. Now I want you to know that God always has a plan. Because here's what it says in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the minds of a man. Is that true? We're making plans all the time, aren't we?
Yes.
Sure. Many are the plans. But it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You can make all the plans you want. How often have you found your plans go through the, get flushed down the toilet? Huh? It's happened once or twice in your life? Sure. You can make all kinds of plans. But listen, it's the Lord, that's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The word of God makes that so clear. In Proverbs 16:25, it says this, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is death. Like, we think we're smart. We think we've got it all figured out. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. But the end of it is death. Man's ways are not God's ways. God says that. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Instead, we should trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5, with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Now, that doesn't mean God wants you to check your brains at the door. He wants you. The Bible says, he says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. It doesn't mean that God wants you to be a walking zombie, but he said, don't put your own understanding first. Put God first. And when you do, you'll have his understanding. Now, the creator of the universe has a little better understanding of how things tick than you do. Doesn't he? He made all things. He knows your future. He knows what's coming. He knows exactly what's around the next curve in the bend. You don't. But he does. Why wouldn't I lean on his understanding? Why wouldn't I say, Lord, I'm not going to put my understanding first here. I'm going to trust what you have for me, Lord. And so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Put him first in all your ways. Check with God first, right? And what does it say? And he shall direct your paths. He will tell you which way to go. He's a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Why? Because He leads me beside still waters. He guides my soul. He restores my soul. Even through the path, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And surely, goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. He will direct your paths. You're not God. You're not good at being God. You're not even good at being God over yourself. But He's very good at being God. Oh, let me encourage you today, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust Him to guide you and direct you. This man obeyed the Lord. He had His plan. When I was first saved, I told God all the things I was going to do for Him. Most of the stuff I told God I was going to do for Him never happened. I wonder why. Because God had other plans. And His plans were better than mine. I can remember I was saved. When I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. And I believe that's God's plan, okay? I do. But I mean, I was aggressive. You know, I was. I really was. I mean, if I came to your door, and I remember one old lady in Cheticamp, I was going around Cheticamp and handing little tracts, telling them about gospel. I wanted people to be saved. And I remember this old lady opened the door a crack, and I stuck my foot right in the door. And she said, "Get your foot out of my door." I said, "But you need Jesus." And I was throwing these papers in. That wasn't the right way to do it. But I thought I wanted people to be saved, right? I could tell you a lot of other stories too, but I won't. But anyway, so God began to humble me. And one of the ways that He humbled me was kind of interesting because I was teaching a Bible study in Inverness. I was involved in ministry here. I was involved in all these places. And I was working in the woods. I'd go to the woods, get up, and I'd cut 4 cords of wood. Then I'd run home, and I'd have supper, and then I'd go and teach a Bible study. And then the next day, I'd do the same thing again. And I was going like flat out, like run, get there. Anyway, the summer came, and the church in Margaree was looking for somebody to do ministry for the summer. And they were going to support them, which meant, you know, it wouldn't have to be in the woods. So I said, well, I'm doing all this stuff anyway. Surely they're going to ask me to do it. And so the time came, and the pastor came to me, and he says, well, Pierre, you know, we really thought about you doing this. Now, I was only saved maybe 2 years, right? And I was rough around the edges, like I said, you know. And they saw that, but I didn't see that. I was Superman at that time, right? So he says, you know, we really considered you, but we don't think you're ready. Well. And then on top of that, he says, the guy that we're getting to come, you know, he's a student at Bible school, and we want you to come, and we want you to show him, to take him around to the Bible studies and teach him and help him and visit with him and encourage him. And I can remember the pride rising up in me and saying, and then God touched me. He showed me, humble yourself. This is my plan. And you know, I look back now to that extra year in the woods, chopping wood and praying and witnessing to trees. Well, witnessing to my fellow people who chop wood with me. And you know, God knew what He was doing. I'm going to give you a quick example. One of the guys that I cut wood, I shared the gospel with him many times. He was a nice enough guy, but he kind of laughed it off, etc. Never saw him for years afterwards. One day I heard that he was not well, and I found out where he was. I went to see him, and he had Alzheimer's. And I visited, I went in and see his wife greeted me at the door. She said, I'm glad somebody's come to visit. Can you just watch him so I can go? She said, he's not going to know you. He's not going to know anything. But she said, I'm very glad to see you. Will you sit with him for a while? I said, certainly I will. So I go in and I sit down across from him. And she said, he doesn't even know me anymore. I sat down across from him. I said, Charlie, how are you doing? Pierre, it's awful good to see you. Oh. Charlie, do you remember I used to work in the woods next alongside of you? Yes, I do. He said, we called you the preacher. Clear, lucid. I said, Charlie, you know, I used to tell you that you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior. I said, you need to be saved. He said, yeah, you told us that all the time, Pierre. I said, did you ever trust Christ? No, he said, I never did. Charlie, are you ready to receive Christ as your Savior now? He said, yes, I am, Pierre. And he prayed with me to ask Christ to be his Savior. Shortly after, his wife comes back. And he just like the wall came back. Now, I hope he wasn't doing that all because of his wife. I don't think so. The wall came back. Never was there a consciousness after that of any of what was going on around him. God opened the door. God opened the window. And if God had me in the woods for another year just to share with that one man and then to see 20 years later him come to faith in Jesus Christ, God had a plan. It was better than mine. It was better than yours. He knows exactly what he's doing in our lives. And sometimes we're humbled. Sometimes we don't like where we're at. That's not the criteria as to whether it's a good place or not. Because we don't like where we're at. God still has a plan. God still has a way forward. Trust him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Turn to the Lord. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Now, every time you see man, I just want you to know that it's a generic term. It means men and women, okay? All right? I'm not trying to be Justin Trudeau here, but I'm just trying to tell you. Okay. Man, when he says steps of a good man, it means the steps of a good woman. I could say that every time for you, but it's just generic. It was used generically. Mankind, which includes women. Okay. So I'm being inclusive. I want you to know that. All right. They're ordered by the Lord. But it says a good man. Well, who's good? The Bible says there's not one good. No, not one. But if you have Christ, you have the goodness of Christ. And if you have his goodness, he can order your steps. And God delights in his way. He delights in it. He delights in us walking in the way of God. God has a plan. So instead of running your life your way, instead, look what it says in James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to spend a year there. We're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. Sounds like plans, right? This is what we're going to do. Where you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You're making plans, but you're not including God in those plans. You need to understand, you could be gone before tomorrow comes. It's like a little vapor that vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, I don't mean, and James doesn't mean this. Well, I'll just make sure I always say, if the Lord's willing, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this. That's not it. It's, Lord, what is your will? Lord, what is your way? Lord, I'm not in charge here. You are in charge of my life. You're in charge of my future, and you're in charge of my plans. Because it says, now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. For to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. All the way with God. He has a plan. Follow what he has to say. You know, even Jesus himself, he's a young boy, 12 years old. He's in the temple. He's talking back and forth to the rulers in the temple, and they're all amazed as he asks them questions. They couldn't get over it. And meanwhile, at the time, his mother and his stepfather had left, gone back, hadn't noticed him. I mean, there's a little bit of responsibility there, right? They kind of figured maybe he was off with the cousins or whatever, but they hadn't noticed him, and they had gone a couple of days' journey, and suddenly, oh, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Oh, we don't know. So they go back looking for him, and they find him in the temple. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Now, somehow, Jesus, being brought up by them, hadn't done the miracles, hadn't done any of these, you know, splash and dash things that happened after he was 30 years old. Somehow, they had gotten quite comfortable of having good little Jesus with them, doing everything he was supposed to do all the time, but somehow forgetting who he really was, forgetting that he was the Son of God, forgetting that the miraculous things that had happened. To some extent, they must have, because this is what she says. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I must be about my Father's business. God had a plan. That plan was for Jesus to be in that temple sharing. His plans are ahead of even the cares of his mother and father. His plans, God's plans, were higher and more important. God's plans are more important than what you want or what you think. Now, very briefly, I want to say this. That plan for you includes sharing the gospel. And I want to show you from the Bible so you know, so you don't have to wonder, is it God's will that I share this with other people, or should I keep it really quiet, especially if other people don't like it? Maybe I shouldn't say anything. Listen, here's what it says in Acts 1:8 as he spoke to the apostles, okay? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and right to the ends of the earth. All the way to Shetty Camp, to the ends of the earth, right? You shall be witnesses for me. That's God's plan. Okay, that was his plan for the original ones. But we can see even here, look in 1 Peter 2:9, it says this, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that's everybody that's a Christian. You are his own special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To proclaim the praises of God. To let the world know, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have. God has a plan, and that is for you to proclaim it. Now, we see here, as far as the Christians in Jerusalem, when they first got saved, there was a whole group there. They were all trusting in the Lord, but then the persecution arose. Then there were people who were coming against him. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. That was who became Paul. That was Stephen who was put to death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They had to flee or be killed. So all the Christians that had been gathering in Jerusalem, there were thousands of them. Suddenly, because of the persecution, they got scattered everywhere. But what did they do once they got scattered? When those who were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. God has a plan. He does have a plan. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Now, we know Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Well, how can you be the light of the world if he's the light of the world? Because Jesus is in you. Because Christ in you shines out. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, God has a plan. He wants your light to shine, but he wants it to shine in your conduct too. There's nothing worse than somebody who's preaching but not living. It stinks. It really does. You know, how often has it been said, well, why don't you come to church? I don't want to go to church, too many hypocrites there. I've heard that been said more than once. Somebody said, well, why don't you come and join us? But in reality, God speaks out against hypocrisy. You're better off shutting your mouth if you're not living right. You know, the old saying, hey, walk the talk. Walk it. And this is what he says. They see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God has a plan. He has a plan for you to live a holy life and to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, how does that work out practically in your life? Here's a couple of things. I have to go quickly. I said I would be brief, so here you go. First thing, surrender your life to God. The first thing. I beg of you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's your reasonable service. It's what you should be doing. Surrender your whole life to God. Don't reserve your plans and say, God, I want you to come and I want you to bless these parts, but I'm going to do my own thing here, okay? I want to keep my own life. I want to do my own thing. No, it's total surrender. It's all or nothing. It's hot or cold. Let me just tell you that, because that's what it is. That's why he says, I beg of you to do this. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't just dance the world's tune. Don't go the way the world is. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can know what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Surrender. That's the first thing you can do. Why? Because you're bought with a price. The Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ. So glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. What did Jesus say when he was in the garden? Did he want to go and get crucified on a cross? Absolutely not. The Bible says he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Three times he fell on his face and he's crying out to the Father. Father, if you're willing, please let this cup pass from me. But what does he say ultimately? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. God had a plan. Even if it goes against what you're feeling or what you're going through. We don't live our life by our feelings. Man, people live their life by their feelings. They're on roller coasters. And most of the time, they're on the bottom of it. You don't live by your feelings. Oh, if it feels good, do it. Ah, what a terrible idea. God has a plan. Follow His plan for your life. Not my will, Lord, but Your will be done. Even though it was the cross. Even though it was the place of suffering. Why? Because that's the only way any one of us here could be saved. Thank God that He had a plan. What else can I do to find out what God's plan is? Surrender. Surrender. Pray. Get your marching orders from God. What did Jesus do? You'll find Him praying. When He was going to choose the 12 disciples, you know what He did the night before He chose 12 disciples? He prayed all night long. All night long. So that He knew what God's plan was. So if He needed to pray, well, guess what? Okay? Read the Word of God. The Bible says, Psalm 119:05, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Read God's Word. Find out what God has to say. And as you do, He will give you direction. And be ready to share. It says this, sanctify. That means put aside. That means make the Lord God the Lord of your heart. Set Him apart in your heart. And be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to share the truth with others. And here, finally, I'm just going to conclude with this. Tell what you know. You might not know much, but tell what you know. Sometimes we think that here's this guy here, right? Jesus said, go home and tell him what great things the Lord has done for you. Now, if the Lord hasn't done anything for you, then you haven't got anything to share. And sometimes that's why we're quiet. That's true. But this man knew the Lord had done something for him, and he went and shared it. In Acts 26, and I'll give you a little homework if you like. I'm not going to quiz you on it, but read Acts 26 when you get home, and you'll read the story of the Apostle Paul sharing his testimony. He's sharing what God had done for him. And there's three parts to sharing what God has done for you. Where you were before you were a believer in Jesus Christ. What were you before? Now, some people would say, well, gee, I was a drunkard, I was a drug addict, I was a this and I was a that. And other people say, well, I was only 6 years old and I realized that I needed God in my life. It'll be more complicated for some than for others. Everybody's got a story and everybody's story is important. So what happened before you were saved? How you were saved. And you might not understand the word saved yet, but it means that you've actually made a transaction with God, that you've trusted Him as your Savior. And if that hasn't happened, then this was needs to happen in your life. But if it is, then how you were saved, you can share that with somebody. And what is God to you now? What's God doing in your life? What is He doing now? Who is God to you now? And what's He doing? So you have an opportunity to share with others what you know. Because this you know. Surely you know what happened in your own life, right? You may not know what happened to somebody else's, but you know what happened in your life. So you can tell what you know. And so as He told that guy, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. There was a blind man in John chapter 9 whom Jesus had caused to see. And the Pharisees were very upset. And they didn't believe that He had actually been made him to see. And they questioned him. They questioned his parents and everything else. And they say, call to get the guy again who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. That was their evaluation of Jesus. And here's what the guy, he didn't even know who Jesus was really at that point. Because here's what he said. Well, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. So he says, I don't know who he was. And you say he's a sinner, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see. I can see. God did something in my life. You might not know a lot of Bible verses, but you can say, if God's touched your life, you can tell that story, right? Tell what you know. People need to know the good news, friends. And God has a plan. And part of that plan includes you telling others, just like it was for this man who went back and told the cities of Decapolis about that. So in that light, I have in my bag, I'm going to put them at the back, just it's a little gospel tract, and it's called The Roman Road. And in The Roman Road, it gives you verses about to help share the gospel. Read them and memorize them for yourself. They're not complicated, and they can be a help to you to understand how I can share the gospel in a very simple, concise way. It provides you with 5 or 6 Bible verses, and everyone can take one. They'll be on the back table there, okay? And I'm done. But I do want to encourage you, for every part of your life, God has a plan. Whatever you're facing, whatever the circumstances, there's a way forward that God has for you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Father, thank you this morning that we can trust you, that you're faithful and you're good. And Lord, help us to let go of what we think and trust in what you said. It'll carry us a lot further. And we'll not be disappointed, that's for sure. So I ask your blessing on each one here today. Thank you for the privilege of being together. And bless our food and fellowship in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Please stay for lunch. We want to have you. Hey, dear. Huh?